Well, good morning, Sunrise Community Church. Oh, it is such a privilege to be with you here this morning. I just have to share with you, I was blessed this week by hearing stories of how God was working in your lives in response to surrender. We're 3 weeks into our surrender series, and we got three more weeks to go. And what I love about it is God is working in us, but it is not about us. It is about Him. It is about encountering Him and what He is speaking. And to be honest with you, last week I was having some struggles, and I just showed up, brought my struggles, and saw God do amazing things through it. And I hope you experience the same thing here this morning, that you can come, bring your struggles, and see God do amazing things through it. Well, last week we started to look at two questions. The first one we looked at last week was, is Jesus better? And this week we're going to look at the question, can I trust Him? Two questions I believe are essential when it comes to surrender. When we think about the question, can we trust Him? For me, my mind immediately goes to the area of fear. What do I do with fear? What do I do about those things that tend to hold me back, that give me the butterflies in my stomach and maybe make me not want to move forward in boldness with what God has for me? I encountered this personally a few weeks ago when I was just going through some feelings of anxiety, and I wasn't sure what it was or why those feelings were there. Maybe you can relate to this. So I went to my therapist, the golf course. It works great, it's very affordable, and there's a lot of room just to think out there, right? So around the ninth hole, I'm hitting my approach shot, and it just suddenly hits me. I'm afraid. And it was like this epiphany. Now you're thinking, okay, Greg, it took you nine holes of golf to figure that out, but yeah, I can be a little emotionally confused at times. But around that ninth hole, that was such a big thing to realize, you know what, I'm afraid. And I literally got on the phone on the golf course and called my wife and said, Amanda, I figured it out. This is what the anxiety is. I'm afraid. And then she says, well, what are you afraid of? And I said, I don't know. I needed nine more. Actually, it's been a process. I'm not quite there yet. But we struggle with fear. This week I sent out a survey in our church email that just said, what are the things you have the hardest time surrendering to God? And over half of you acknowledge that anxiety or fear is a struggle to surrender. It was the top answer on that survey. And if this is an indication, that would mean that half of us in this room struggle with anxiety or fear to some level, maybe even more. This is us. This is where we are. So the question comes up then, right? Well, what do we do with that? And the Word of God gives us some great insight. We look at Jesus' command to not be afraid and realize that He says this over 45 times in the Gospels. We read in 2 Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear. We read in 1 John that perfect love casts out all fear. And in Philippians, we are told to not be anxious about anything. God has given us a plan for fear, but I also fear that sometimes we oversimplify it and just approach fear and say, well, don't do that. As a Christian, no, we're not. These verses say, don't be afraid, and we may overlook some of the other things that it says in there about why we don't have to be afraid, and we just kind of simplify it. Stop it. Don't do it. But how many people have experienced success by just telling the fear to go away? Maybe some. And I can tell you too, a lot of you have also just tried to overcome it or will it out of you or just say, I'm not supposed to do that, but it's still there. I wonder if God would give us a deeper theology of fear than just don't do it. Because as a follower of Jesus, I realize that God also says to me to fear Him. So what do I do with this? I'm not supposed to be afraid, but I am supposed to be afraid. Look at some of these other verses say. Philippians talks about, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And over throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told to fear God. And we can say, well, that fear, that's just awe. That's part of it, I'm sure. But do not forget that when people encountered God in Scripture, they were legitimately terrified. God is not like us. He is much bigger than us. And there is a place for fear in the Christian life. Well, what do we do with that? I invite you to come along with me this morning as we're going to look at a story in the Gospel of Mark and ask God to take more deeply and develop our theology of fear. Will you pray with me? Just silently right now, ask God that this time would be about Him. And pray for yourself that He would give you ears to hear and a heart to respond to what He is doing this morning. And pray for our church that collectively we would respond and surrender to Him, following Him with what He has for us. And I invite you as well to pray for me. Pray that the words that come out of my mouth wouldn't be mine, but would be His. Jesus, we pray this in Your name. Amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 35. And while you're flipping there, I want to give us a little recap of what's happened so far. So in the Gospel of Mark, we see the recount of the beginnings of Jesus' ministry. And it starts with Him calling disciples. He says to them, follow me. And sure enough, they leave their nets or they leave their tax collector's booth and they go and they follow Him. And I got to tell you, those first few encounters they had with Jesus, those experiences were pretty amazing and exciting. They saw Jesus heal. They saw Jesus preach in ways that they had never heard before. They saw the band of followers grow. They saw Him heal the sick. They even saw how He handled opposition. Some of the religious rulers said some things about how they weren't so happy about what He was doing, and they saw Jesus respond and silence them, and they were quite simply in awe of who this person was. And I would venture to say this was something like they'd never experienced before. They might have even been riding a little bit on a spiritual high. Well, picking up in verse 35, let's see what happens next. It said, that day when evening come, He said to His disciples, let's go over to the other side, talking about the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. So I can imagine these disciples had seen some pretty amazing things. So when Jesus says, hey, let's go to the other side of the lake, I can imagine them thinking, all right, boat cruise. We got Jesus, we got some followers, we got some other boats. This is a lake day. Let's go enjoy it. And I have to ask before moving on, because Jesus said, let us go to the other side, what do you think Jesus intended to do at this moment? He intended to get them to the other side, did He not? If Jesus says, let's do this, there's a good chance that's what's going to happen. But it was not the boat pleasure cruise that these disciples were anticipating. Because in verse 37, we read that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. A terrifying experience that literally came out of nowhere. And I didn't anticipate this in preparing this sermon, but if you've read the news this week, something that hits way close to this passage happened in Missouri. Literally, a boat of tourists was out on a lake when 60-mile-an-hour winds came out of nowhere, and the boat was swamped, and a handful of people drowned in that lake. And I wanted to acknowledge this on the front end for those of you that are aware of it, and encourage you to be praying for the families of those victims, because the storm that they're about to encounter isn't the 60-mile-an-hour winds that hit that day. And as we talk about this and talk about some of these storms, maybe you would even think about what are some of the storms, not literal, that are going on in the world around you, maybe out there and maybe right here. So as we look at this passage, I have to ask, what had these men done wrong to end up in this situation? And the simple answer is nothing. Nothing. They hadn't sinned. They hadn't disobeyed. They hadn't gone the wrong way. But here they are in this terrifying situation with their boat almost swamped in a storm that came out of nowhere. Why? Because they followed Jesus. We can end up in terrifying storms just because we follow Jesus. And we have to embrace this theological truth that is a hard pill to swallow, but it is this: that Jesus leads his followers into terrifying situations. Now, you're probably saying to me, Greg, right now, that your initial question, Greg, was, can I trust him? You're not making your case very well right now, okay? Well, stick with me. Because we've all been part of situations that were wonderful and then suddenly took a turn for the worst. I remember when my son was born a year ago. We just celebrated his birthday on Friday. He was born and, man, I've shared the story before, but we didn't know if we would be able to get pregnant. We had him. It was quite an amazing journey, and God had provided just a beautiful baby boy that we were more than excited about. And 8 days later, he spiked a fever of 104, and we rushed to the emergency room. And when doctors start using the word meningitis, you get scared really quick. We were in there for 3 days. And I know that God was there. And I know that I don't need to fear when he is with me. But I also know I was a scared papa. What are you afraid of right now? Your future? Your past? Your health? Maybe you're afraid of getting hurt because that's happened before. Maybe you're afraid of being known. Maybe you're afraid of social interaction. We're just afraid of being misunderstood or not appreciated. Reality is, friends, if you're alive, you're going to have terrifying situations in your life. Just as Jesus led his disciples into this one, he'll lead you into it too. And like I said, that may not seem like, okay, that's the most trustworthy God for me to follow, because you just said he leads us into terrifying situations. Well, what do I do with that? What do I do with Job 23, where after all that Job had been through and just so many horrific things, that he literally says, that is why I am terrified before God. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. And get this, he says, the Almighty has terrified me. God did this to me. What do I do with that? I can't speak to all of your fears and everything that's scary in the world, but I can tell you this. This isn't the end of the story. And wherever you are in your fears, you're not at the end of the story either. I'll just tell you that right now. Well, let's read on to verse 38. It says, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Great! It says, the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? I love this because the disciples are just like me. Right? Don't you care? You're asleep. You're taking a nap. The storm is here. Don't you understand? And sometimes in the terrifying situations, it's even going to seem like Jesus doesn't care. Have you been there? Have you been there in your moment of need, your moment of pain, your moment of turmoil, where you don't know which way is up and which way is down, and you call out to God and you don't hear anything? Job did, again in verse chapter 23. And by the way, if you want a great chapter in the Bible about just fear and engaging fear in terms of what God has done, look at Job 23. But Job says there, if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I don't find him. When he's at work in the north, I don't see him. And when he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. Even King David, the mighty king of Israel, who had a full heart for God, echoed some similar sentiments in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And the amazing thing is, God doesn't chew them out for thinking this way. He said, that's good to put in my book. God is not afraid of our turmoil. And in the midst of the turmoil, when it seems like Jesus doesn't care, we have to flip the script and ask the question, does Jesus care? Because so far, in the book of Mark, leading up to this event, he's cared enough to free people from demon possession. He cared enough to heal a leper. He cared enough to cause a paralytic to walk, and even cared enough to forgive his sins. He healed a man with a crippled hand. And don't forget this either. He called his disciples, why? So that they may be with him. His closest friends and companions. Did Jesus care? More than they could even imagine. And the disciples knew in theory who Jesus was. They'd seen him do all these things for others. But in this moment, that reality was meeting their reality. And God was going to have to become a whole lot bigger to them, because in that moment, it wasn't just, can Jesus do it for someone else? It isn't just the theory, is he able to? It's, is Jesus enough for me right now in the midst of this terrifying situation? Well, we can apply this to ourselves. Does Jesus care about us today? You know, for many of us in this room, it is true that we can answer that question with a knowledge that, yeah, that's true, Jesus does. I've heard about it, I've seen it. But do we know it? Do we know it in our lives? Do we experience and trust that Jesus cares? Because we're honest with ourselves, we have fears to surrender to him. To say, Jesus, I trust you. And just like last week, in the back of the seat in front of you is a card. I want to ask you to grab this right now. And just hold on to it. And it says on it, Jesus, I surrender. And during the rest of this sermon, I want you to think specifically, or what are the fears that I have that I need to surrender to him? And you have freedom to let that go other places beyond fear. If there's other things God's been speaking to you this week, that it's time to surrender. But friends, God is calling us to give those things to him. You see, it wasn't that Jesus didn't care. It was just that Jesus was not surprised by the storm. Jesus is not terrified in your moment of terror. Let's recap for a second. Jesus says, let's go out to the other side of the lake. And the disciples say, we're going, boat cruise, this is going to be awesome. And in the midst of going to the other side of the lake, out of nowhere, this amazing storm comes, and they're absolutely terrified. No doubt, water is spilling over the boat, they're getting swamped, they think they're going to drown. They're saying, where's Jesus? They go and look for him. There he is, asleep on a cushion in the boat, and they wake him up saying, don't you care? And keep in mind, he was taking a nap, so I imagine he might have been a little groggy waking up. I don't know. But this is what happens. In verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and said to them, "Quiet, be still!" And calm. It says, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. I can't imagine an experience quite like that. How powerful. And Jesus, not at all wanting to miss a teachable moment, says to his disciples, I love this, "Why are you so afraid? Why am I afraid? The water was swamping over the boat and I thought we were going to drown and this was it. I was going to die out here. And then I went to find you and you were just sleeping. That's why I was so afraid." And then his other perfect question, "Do you still have no faith? God, you just spoke and the lake listened to you. The wind died down. Of course." And it says they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Notice how their response changes, and it's not too different, but there's a big distinction, because this is what it says right here. It says, they were terrified. I can only imagine the jitters you would have after experiencing something like that, the adrenaline that you would be feeling. They're still out on the lake they were going to die in just a second ago, the lake that is now calm. And understand, friends, that they were not terrified here in a cowardly sense. No, they were terrified because they were overwhelmed by the presence of God. From the Old Testament, these Jewish boys would have known that what just happened is something that only God Almighty could do. In the book of Job, chapter 38, I love this. It actually says that in the midst of all the craziness going on for Job, it says, the Lord answered out of the storm. And he says to him later in the chapter, "Where were you when I said to the ocean, this is how far you may come and no farther?" God is a God who commands nature. He spoke and he created it into being. And here these disciples are who have been following this Jewish rabbi, an amazing teacher, who's done some miraculous things and may very well have thought by the power of God they are able to do that. But now they're bumping up against an even bigger reality that God is right here with us. And they're terrified because they are bumping up against the God Almighty. They are overwhelmed by this reality of who he is and that he is the Lord of all storms. That he can speak and calm the storm. And what God does in our lives and what God did here, what Jesus did here is he takes our fear of fill in the blank. Fear of the storm, fear of life, fear of disappointment, fear of the future, fear of failure. And he turns it into the fear of God. And friends, if you fear God, well, then you don't need to fear anything else. Because God is the God of all else. He created all else. He knows all else. Going back to the golf course, a little bit of my story. So I was chewing on for a while, what am I afraid of? And I'll be honest with you, not all of the anxieties have subsided. Different days are different. There's some days where I feel kind of this tension. And in looking at this passage this week, I've realized even more and more that some of the fear that I fear isn't so much a fear of things, but kind of like in this passage, it's a fear of God in his presence. In that respect, in some ways, I embrace the fear. And I need to give you a little backstory for this to maybe help you try to understand it. And I'm still understanding it myself. A year and a half ago, I had what I would call one of the most spectacular experiences of the last 4 years of my life. I was in bed. I was getting ready for bed. And suddenly God just got me really fired up about who he was and what he was doing. And what happened next I can only describe as something I've only experienced one other time in my life, but as a vision. I wasn't asleep, but these thoughts kept coming to my mind that I just could not ignore, and I could tell you more about it. I tried to ignore some of them in the coming months afterwards, but God wouldn't let them go away. And what I saw during this time was this church alive in him. I saw people coming to know Jesus in incredible numbers. I saw a full parking lot with people coming in wanting to connect with Jesus Christ. I saw people's lives being changed and transformed. I saw people returning to this church that hadn't been here. And then I saw people coming to this church for the first time and then them being transformed and then being sent back to their communities to experience reconciliation elsewhere. And I could not sleep. And in the coming months, I tried to say, well, maybe I had too much chocolate that night, or maybe it was something else. And God would not let me get away from it. And then I wrestled with God over, God, I've tasted this thing that's so wonderful. What is the journey to get there? And I'll tell you this honestly, I don't know. But in the last few months, with everything that's been going on in the church and the ways that God has been giving and taking away and taking us into transition and bringing us to places of surrender and dependence on him, I can tell you that I have a certain level of fear because I am bouncing up against something that God is doing that is way bigger than myself. He's made me very keenly aware that I can't do it. We can't do it. In fact, part of my fear, and this is the selfish part, it's like, I can screw this up. I know I can get in the way. I know me. I know how selfish I can be or narrow and just in my sight. But friends, I firmly believe that God is doing something in our midst that he will even reveal more and more of. And there is room for some fear because we can't do it. And because he is showing up. You know, this story doesn't end at the end of chapter 4. Because in chapter 5, it starts with these words. Then they went across the lake. Pretty amazing when you think about it. Jesus said, let's go to the other side, and that's exactly what he intended to do, and that's exactly what he did. But even in that truth, friends, don't miss this reality that the work that God did here wasn't in the leaving the shore. The work wasn't in the arriving on the other shore, though I'm sure there was a sense of relief. The great work that God did in revealing himself was right in the midst of the storm. And I don't know what storm God has you in the midst of today. I don't know what you're terrified about. I don't know where you are with Jesus. But I know that God is here. And that he is involved in your life. And so I pose the question to you again this morning. Can you trust him? And maybe even more specifically, what is he calling you this morning to surrender to him? Once again, we are going to have a time this morning to say, Jesus, I trust you. A few more songs of worship where you can write down what God is calling you to surrender. And I invite you once again with the cards we left up there last week to walk up front and surrender those by laying them at the foot of the cross. Maybe even you want to take some time just praying up there or praying at your seat. Do whatever God leads you in. And note too, as you surrender to him, maybe the storm is something where God just speaks and it changes. But I'll tell you this too, there's also storms in this life where God takes us to seasons, Sometimes there's things that you've been anxious about for 15 years. He's the God of that storm too. Let him meet you in the midst of it. Let's pray.